G'day, punters. Welcome to the 5 for 5 Mailbag WA review from Winterbottom Stakes weekend. Pete Anthonis alongside Luke Dayton. Dates, how was the weekend? How did it treat you overall?
Hey, Pete. Hello, punters. Yeah, good weekend overall, mate. Found a couple and even chimed in Jero after you'd gone up there for the Sky Guys and done your thing up there. So, yeah, good weekend. How about yourself, mate?
Yeah, it was good weekend overall. I think we both were really keen on Rising Sea, and it was good to see it get up. And obviously had a little bit on Father Nick, and I know for yourself you sort of picked the eyes out of the Winterbottom and almost got the trifecta first four, just the wrong order. So a little bit of a spew there late, but
yeah, a little bit of tough bickies. Take something out of reading the form right, I guess. You just get fuck all for that.
Yeah, exactly right. Look, we're going to run through the punting form data, and there's a couple of interesting races, I think is probably the best way to describe it, because it just didn't really marry up with what we saw on the day. We'll jump into race one. So basically, they've gone one length faster than the class average to the 600, and that was quite surprising, just given the small field. Probably the main thing for me that it signified was it did look visually, at least, that mid to wide barriers were suited during the day, at least early, that sort of just got the impression that the fence maybe wasn't quite as good as the lanes on the outside of it. So this two wide and even a three wide lane seemed to be a little bit more effective. And if Agent Pippa, she obviously didn't parade as well as what she has done previously, just a bit more scattered and nervy, but potentially it was actually the inside being a little bit off, because she's run at benchmark. I just assumed that she was going pretty slowly, given that she failed to finish, because the overall times that they've run and the overall sections are pretty strong, and she's basically gone about four lengths below her previous start.
Yeah, like I said, interesting race. I think we were sort of both keen pre-made Agent Pippa and didn't parade well and sort of went looking for excuses for her, but maybe fence was off. She did miss the kick a little bit and had to get scrubbed up, so maybe burnt a little bit too early and had some pressure on her outside. But she was probably disappointing in the end, whether it's the end of the prep. She's had a pretty long, sustained prep now. I know she had a little bit of a break and a freshen, but still a pretty big prep for a three-year-old. Saying that, the top three probably all were impressive. The Celts Flying and King Stable's absolutely motoring on all cylinders at the moment, going really well. Good to see. How to Fly was did what it normally does, sat off the pace and ran well, and will probably entice a few to back it next start. Jing Tang, I want to see next start where it gets to, if it can get a barrier and find the front. I think it's getting fit enough to sort of run its close to its PB and roll along in front. And Zucaros was hit the line pretty well for being first up.
Yeah, I thought Zucaros, it's just its condition, probably gave out the last 200. That seems to be what the times are indicating anyway. But yeah, it was a pretty iffy parade, I thought, by most of these, and really that was the only one I could find. He looked bright enough and fit enough to run a bit of a race first up, but obviously was going to be pretty hard trying to chase down the leaders on that sort of pace. So yeah, not really sure to make that race going forwards, but I'll be pretty keen to just see them all parade before jumping into any of them, I think.
Yep.
We'll go to race two on the card, which is a two-year-old race, the Crystal Slipper. And again, they've gone exactly benchmark here, which again, surprising given that it was only six horses in the field. And they've returned overall sections, which are pretty decent for the most part, just below benchmark. So I think that's pretty good at this time of year for early-ish season two-year-olds. Jericho Missile was just too strong for Specialism, who did a mountain of work sitting outside the lead and probably wasn't suited. I'm not sure they necessarily expect Jevelation to kick up that much. I suspected they might try and do that, the Taylor camp, just with the better barrier this week. And obviously Jevelation finished last and Specialism was just nabbed on the line.
Yeah, they're good pick up by yourself there with the Taylor camp. I suppose they're typically a stable that when they have an inside draw, they usually like to utilise it and kick up a fair bit. Jericho Missile looks smart. I think you said it had improvement to come from the yard, so it'd be interesting to see how much it improves the next couple of starts and whether they back it up or they put it out and target some of the bigger races coming up. Yeah, specialism huge. Thought it was a big run, really impressive. Probably didn't lose any admirers in the way it ran. Interesting, that's probably the first time it hasn't had the rail and sort of got a bit lost on the bend. So definitely something in that for the 2 year olds, those that can find the rail. Which, yeah, and your horse was good, man. I thought it hit the line really well. Wasn't really pushed to find a position early on, and sort of just there for more of an education thing, and should improve moving forward.
Yeah, I thought it was just probably, obviously the wide gate. Julian only had two options, and that one was to sit three wide, and one was to go back to last. And I thought going back to last had much more merit. I believe both Jericho Missile and Specialism are going out for a spell, so that opens up a lot of these two-year-old races going forward. So yeah, hopefully there'll be a race and a barrier for our girl going forwards. But yeah, pretty much the same as what it's been so far. If you find the rail, you pretty much find the win. Although Jericho Missile did find the rail, and I do have a slight query on whether or not that ground was a little bit inferior. It obviously peeled out well and truly before the straight and found those good lanes going out wide, so just always helps. But obviously there was a good sort of spook around the horse, and they backed it pretty solidly, I think, early, so didn't really miss with that. Race three, and it's a bit of the same old with Arcadia Prince. Although, mind you, this time they did actually go to that 1.5 lengths slower than the class average, so relatively even for the most part. Again, it just showed too good a turn of foot, settled in an absolute world perfect position, peeled out and went straight past them. I found Taxigano and Sovereign Trade in the yard, and thought Taxigano was pretty disappointing, but I think he just needed a bit more pace on overall. He seems to he just looked like he whacked away. He didn't necessarily tail off or anything like that. He just lost all momentum and didn't really show any acceleration. Going forwards, Brokers probably won away in terms of what I saw, and Sovereign Trade pulled up with a few little issues. What do we have here? It was respiratory noise when being eased down, so it's undergone a few exams and see what happens. But yeah, not really keen on taking too much out of this sort of race dates. How about yourself?
Yeah, like yourself, mate. Pretty main one's probably just Broker. Been waiting for it to get the third up for this prep. It usually improves slight with a bit of racing. Third, fourth up, then it usually holds its form for the rest of its prep. So yeah, keen to see where it goes next start. Other than that, Acadia Prince is a talented horse. Logged perfectly. It was probably all over as soon as they jumped. Interesting ride on Spiller Nova. Surprised that they didn't try to dictate a little bit more than they did, and were happy to take a sit. It was interesting, maybe something to do with, from all reports, there was a bit of wind on course, so maybe they took a bit of a precaution and not wanting to go at a fierce tempo into that wind on the back straight. Yeah, other than that, mate, yeah, just Broker really.
I
It's
guess
the only one for me.
that's probably the thing with Spilling Over overall, is it basically ran to, I think, its limit around that 1 length above benchmark or so. It's been pretty much around that. I'm just going to double check the figures just now, but I think that's probably just its limit, I would imagine, for the most part. So we'll just have a quick look. But yeah, outside of that, it's one of those races where you just sort of want to see them all parade again next start. Arcadia Prince, will probably find its own limit as well. Spilling Over, yeah, its PB's 2.8 lengths faster than benchmark or above benchmark, so it's probably not too far off that, to be honest. And its last start was actually 0.2 of a sorry 0.4 of a length better, so pretty much run exactly the same.
Yeah.
We'll go to race four, and this is probably, if there's going to be one race of the day that really looked interesting from a sectional data point of view, dates, it was probably this one. They've been led up going at 0.6 lengths slower than the class, so pretty much bang on even. But you notice that there was a few interesting little sectional times with Misty Lad leading.
Yeah, it looks like they've had a little bit of an anchor drop there. Sort of mid race from the 8 to the 6 using on the punny form data with the 8 to the 6, Misty Lads dropped off, and then the 6 to the 4 she's dropped right back and then had to try and pick up again from the 400, and you sort of see that on the tape. She looks gone and then fights back once who was one of their outside, Songa Vincent, who loomed as if it was going to streak away at the top of the straight, and then Misty Lab was able to fight back. So for me, seeing that data, I'm going to forgive horses that were back in the field, so the Thisaways and Deception Games. I think they both run fairly, especially Deception Game, and be looking to follow Misty Lad wherever she goes next start. I think she can really probably bounce off this and find a race.
Yeah, overall it wasn't a particularly strong race. I was said on radio that I was keen to almost forget Platoon for the rest of the prep, and yep, I'll probably stick by that, all things given, because it, you sort of have a look at the leaders. The overall figures aren't particularly strong, but the leaders are certainly more disadvantaged than the horses back in the field, who haven't dropped quite the same amount of time based on the individual splits. And yeah, Platoon's obviously finished with a good burst once again, but that's just its pattern, and overall its figures, it's barely getting past benchmark overall when it's all said and done. So I think you can sort of just put a line through it for this prep. Still parades like it's a bit edgy, bit nervy. Don't know if we'll get the ultimate gear change at some stage, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nordic King probably won the raffle there.
Yeah, just sort of found the right spot and had the right jockey to get it home in the end. It was, interesting race, I guess, and especially more from the sectional point of view. And Misty Lads dropped that nearly a whole second in, from the 800 sectional to the 600 sectional. So I liken that to sort of if you're going for a long distance run and then you sort of stop for 10 seconds to take the view in, and it's pretty hard to get going again. It takes you a little while to find that rhythm again. So it's pretty similar for horses, I imagine.
And conversely, I guess you got to forgive Song of Vincent, but even its parade, Song of Vincent, like, it's got plenty of improvement to come. It got really hot and bothered late. Even for it, it is a horse that tends to parade with a Clark, and it does get a little bit toey, but yeah, it got really sort of hot and bothered towards the end, and I was half expecting it to drop off, and that's why it was surprising when it loomed and looked like it was going to pass Misty Lad, but it just didn't drop as much acceleration as Misty Lad did. So anyway, it's the joy of the punting form data, punters. It helps explain a few things as opposed to just letting your eyes become the judge. Race 5, and well, it was relatively easy, I guess, in the end. Relatively easy watch. Jared Noski, if you want to have a look at sectional data that favours a front runner, well, it's basically, yeah, it's been a small slowdown from the 1,000 to the 800, but then it's a good increase, the 800, 600, 600, 400, 400, 200, and then 200 to the finish. Just steadily increased each of the sections. Perfect.
Great ride, and you watch the tape and you can just see he's just got the horse comfortable. At no stage did it come off the bridle, and sort of everything else before the turns off the bit trying to catch up. So perler ride, perler find for the Movers boys, and happy to keep that streak going for the Movers bets, mate. Well done.
Yeah, they've been going all right. They've been select, but they've been good so far, so hopefully may it long continue. Other horses out of the race, I thought King Louis is pretty good outside the lead, only beaten 1.1 lengths. The Coney's boy just keeps parading the same and just keeps pretty much running the same as well, so I almost keep underestimating it. Mind you, the overall data for this race wasn't particularly strong, and even then, in terms of the early speed, Rising Sea's gone to the 600, 8.6 lengths slower than the class, and then obviously just sprinted home. So again, when you've got that sort of lead with a leader, you can't help but be pretty happy with that. But yeah, overall the actual benchmark figures are a little bit questionable. Jasper improved a fair bit from the yard and really was going very, very slowly early days, and has shown a good turn of foot. So basically gone from 13.2 lengths slower to the 600. It's then accelerated up to 6.3 above. So it's a really good turn of foot. So it just means the horse is in a good spot. But mind you, he's probably entitled to do that when you're going that slow. Upward Others copped a lot of interference early on. Sasso Circus seemed to, I don't know, jump at Shadows or something like that anyway, and caused interference.
Yeah, try to jump at Shadow, by the looks of it.
It was quite bizarre watching it, and it's caused interference up with others, and I think Royal Command was on the outside, but probably a little bit less affected. so you can probably forgive upwards others anyway. Anything else out of the race?
No, hit the nail on the head there, mate, I reckon. Yeah, Royal Command, not too sure what to do with it. It's just one of those horses, I guess, similar to another horse we'll talk about later on in the regional championships, just gets too far back to be a consistent winning horse. Surprised that it keeps going around at the odds. Obviously got an elite turn of foot, but needs to have everything go its way.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And overall, it's just a little bit better than benchmark. So you're sort of taking unders on a horse that's no superstar. You know, if you're going to be doing that, there's certainly better horses that you could be throwing your money in anyway, especially from that stable. All right, race six, the regional championship that isn't very regional, but though it was a relatively evenly run race. It's basically 0.3 lengths slower to the 600, so pretty much bang on. They haven't returned any super figures, just a little bit better than benchmark overall, but I think Father Nick clearly paraded in great order. It was a little bit deceptive in a way because he was parading around at the Clark, and then I just held off sending the mail till I got to see him run out and just got a full view of his action. And I was like, okay, you know, this horse is pretty much ready to go, so I had to send it out as a bet. Again, pretty good performance given on the rail, and there's a lot going on up front and even behind it as well. I thought Paradise Square was really unlucky. It was basically jumping over horses trying to get clear. Akiko got too far back but looked in outstanding order. Whether or not Sarah Childs thought she did, I thought she did. It was an interesting conversation after the last. Flower of Scotland, absolutely flying. I think we can follow that going wherever. Finally, French was maybe a little bit plain. Was expecting it to walk a little bit better. It was pretty fit, but that was about it. Fine Scent, pretty much typical for the stable. Vermont Lady, typical for it. Yeah, not really sure we can take too much out of the race. It was just a bit of chaos, I think.
Yeah, the old Ascot-based regional championship runners run 1-2. You'd be a little bit spewing as a genuine country trainer come to a race, and then the Ascot-based trainers get up. But anyway, good find by yourself in the yard. Probably didn't have enough on Father Nick, having backed at the last start, and then you put it on top. Got the chocolates, got a perfect ride, got a perfect run. I sort of split up the fence. Thought Fine Set was awfully unlucky. Held up for most of the straight, got out, and then got run down by one coming up its inside. If McGrady keeps the fence, it Father Nick runs up its arse and it wins the race. Flower Scotland Hughes will go back to Bunbury next start likely, and hopefully we find it from the yard. Hopefully we're on course and can get another result out of it. Similar to Count Carter, probably goes back to down south and will be hard to beat wherever it goes. Agree, Paradise Square was huge. Looks like it's taken to the new stable very well.
Yeah, exactly right. Really keen to follow that horse wherever it goes. Just on Fine Scent, how's the ride from Shooter McGrady? It's gone from gate 12 and he's landed the fence behind the leader. It's just...
Yeah, it was a pearler, and then just probably made the wrong decision. Had to stuck the fence and probably wins the race.
Yeah, he's in pretty good form, Shooter. So one for followers of Vakanar Stard going forward. Fingers crossed anyway. Snow Blossom. Yeah.
It's just one of those horses similar to Royal Command, just gets too far back and needs a small field. And it's one of my favourite horses, being a Bunbury horse, but it just runs up asses for a living.
And that's pretty much exactly what it did. It had a lot of backsides in front of it and tried to get through all of them.
Might try and buy it again.
Yeah, exactly. Just throw one out. all right, race seven, the main event, the Winterbottom Stakes. What more can you say? This race was absolutely brutal. So we're talking about the class benchmark here. So across a class of group races, they've still gone seven lengths faster than your average group race to the 600. So they're absolutely flowing. And we've basically seen that with the field inverting. A lot of the on-speed brigade, Belter, Runson, Rebel King, all finished back in the field. And Voodoo Lad, Enticing Star, Maliguera, I'll Have a Bit, have all settled back, well back in the field. They've settled 13th, 12th, 10th, and 11th. I'll Have a Bit had a bit of interference, so didn't quite get there. Enticing Star and Maliguera had a bit of a bump at the top of the straight, and Voodoo Lad came out the widest and had the best run. I thought Valor Road and Ashlaw were phenomenal on speed. They've only been beaten about 2.5 to 3 lengths, so that's pretty good going. And look, Profit Street keeps running well. I thought just needed a little bit more wind up room, I think, but it wasn't necessarily travelling as good as the first three home. Enticing Star overall finally proved that she could do what many suspected, and that she could get home in one of these tough run races. But overall, they haven't come home very quick. That I think that's more just because that first 600 was just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, no, dead set flying, mate. Probably didn't anticipate as much speed as what we got for the race. It was breakneck speed, which explains obviously the finishing order. Thought we were home top of the straight with Malaguirre and Enticing Star, and just got weird. Too good by the great man. Sounds like he shouted the bar again as well, which is just too good. Pretty similar horses that I'm interested in moving forward. Valor Road goes anywhere in its own grade, probably wins. Yeah, I thought it was huge, thought it was enormous, which couldn't take any of the price because it was 30s and the 10s and couldn't back it at 10s. But yeah, it's run enormous and will probably depends where it goes because it's going to have to lug some kilos again now if it goes back to its own sort of age group and somewhere. Yeah, other than that, Malaguirre was good. That was a huge training performance for him to come over and get it to go as well as it did. Enticing Star, good for WA Racing to see her at her best and sort of prove that she can do it with the best of the sprinters. Be interesting to see where they go with her now. Yeah, and Vedora, awfully disappointing.
Yeah, there was a lot of nasty rumours in the
Yeah.
24, 48 hours leading up to the race. Effectively, she hadn't been eating well, and some of the track work she had done, just compared with last year when she was surging up the gradient at Ascot, she was just struggling, just plain. And then that's basically what I saw in the yard. Like, had a little bit of glow, but wasn't walking particularly well, and just didn't seem bright.
Was gone. It
Yeah.
was gone. 700. She's off the bit, and I don't even think like if Bowditch had been able to find a gap, he wouldn't have been able to take it. They just didn't have any horse there. So really, really interesting. I guess you look at the betting as well, and she was just really solid in the market. Usually, when you see something go that badly, and it's got those rumours around, you sort of see a little bit of a move the other way on Betfair. But she came 260. 268 in a 234 or 338 late, and yeah, it was just interesting to see.
Yeah, it was pretty surprising. And you sort of said to me after the race, did you lay the place? And I thought, yeah, usually I do when I don't like a favourite, I'll try and lay at the
Yeah.
place, because I just really like trusting my eye when it comes to that stuff, and didn't even think of it.
No, neither. I was fucking spewing after the race, especially after we just missed the first four. But yeah, I suppose just interesting, really. Not too often the fair gets it wrong in a big race like that.
Yeah, agree. Look, in terms of the overall yard, I thought the way Belter looked, I thought, geez, you've picked the wrong race here second up. Any other sprint race, you'd be winning. But I think a lot of these, depending on how they pull up, it's probably the main thing. I reckon they'll need probably at least 2, probably 3 weeks to get over some of these runs. But I mean, Belter's sectionals here, I mean, from the 8 to the 6, it's gone 10.56 seconds. From the 6 to the 4, it's gone 11.8, so it's dropped over 1 point. It's dropped 1.24 seconds.
Yeah, just
So it's
actually
just completely
threw the
fallen.
anchor out.
Yeah, it's
It'd
just
be as like, yeah, if you were running and you know the parachute training that you do when you're a sprint trainer and you let the parachute out and then all of a sudden just basically on your ass. It's pretty similar to what happened here.
yeah, he just had gone way too hard out in front.
Especially off the platform it had too, like we talked about it in the preview, and it just didn't have the platform to sustain a big speed. First up, they went what, 6 lengths below what it normally does. It's just not really the platform you want going into a winter bottom, which are generally pretty steady races, and then they've come out and gone breakneck speed here. It was never a good recipe for success.
No, it certainly was not.
The sooner Rawa get the sectionals up on the TVs, the better, because If you were seeing those sectional times and knowing that, it'd be a great opportunity to be laying the fuck out of it in play.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm just bringing up Belter's sectional data here. So yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, 5.5 slower last start over 11. He's gone 10 lengths faster. So it's only a turnaround of 16 lengths. He'll be fine.
And he can when he's at his peak and when he's got a good platform, he can sustain those breakneck speeds. You look back last prep and he was going 8 lengths above sort of benchmark across all races for those distance over the 1100 and 1200 and sustaining it and coming home above benchmark in those races. And so, yeah, I guess when they look back at the prep and sort of preparation for the race, they probably might do things differently a little bit next time.
Yeah, exactly right. Out of the Eastern Staters, I'm keen to follow. I'll have a bit national if they turn up anywhere over the next couple of months. I thought they both looked really well. Was pretty happy with their runs as well. Malaguera, interesting to see where it goes. States, you were keen on it in the preview, and I certainly couldn't have had it. But, really good run. So, again, there's another one to be following from this meet. Enticing Stars out for a break, so we'll wait for her to come back next year, but I suspect she'll come back a really furnished mare.
Yep.
All right, race 8. Damn Ready got the chocks here. They've gone 3.5 lengths faster to the 600, and have come home and recorded overall better than benchmark figures. Damn Ready, it was probably just more a Mitchie Pateman special. That was clearly the best it's gone in WA so far. But look, there was a few horses here that are a bit unlucky. Debellatio, again, was jumping over horses. Double Jeopardy's condition probably just gave out late, I thought, but looked really well in the yard. I thought Debellatio was a completely different horse. I couldn't believe it was actually him because he spent the whole of last prep walking around like a bit of a fucking idiot, to be honest, and now here he was, and he looked actually really, really sound, like a proper racehorse again. Kind of bizarre. Fred Kersley's done a really good job there. I think we can follow Kakadu, and I thought Illustrious Tycoon was probably just a little bit jittery. He can get a bit toey and a bit warm, but even for him, this is bad, and he's returned well below his best, so I'll give him a forgive for this one start, because the market did support him, which I found quite interesting, and he will have a bit of an SP advantage over a lot of this field, but yeah, I want to see him improve a lot in the yard before jumping into him, that's for sure.
Completely agree there. I was sort of ready to sort of give him life off that, but there was a little bit of a drift late, so maybe the parade was the key. As we've spoken about on the preview, that stable's going a little bit averagely at the moment. I think they're two from the last 50. Not in the most purple patch of form. How did Dawn Mission come back, mate?
Dawn Mission, I'll just bring up the notes. I did see that she's entered for Bunbury on Wednesday in a small field.
Yeah, not too sure if she'll run, but I thought she came back well. It was a good run, hit the line well first up from its wide barrier. It was always entitled to get back, and sort of looks like it could be in for a good prep if it's come that well. Agreed, Debellatio, significant jock upgrade on recent jockey form, and was probably a bit unlucky in the end. Suffered a little bit of almost his own anchor drop, really. Flew for 8 of the 6 and then just started running up asses and was very unlucky. Similar to Kakadu, it had some pretty good form lines come into the race and didn't get much room in the straight. Fry's Gift, probably the one from that sort of top section of the race that you can sort of let go around again next start. As you said, it's been parading pretty well and finally sort of ran up to its parade, so I don't think it's got much improvement to come. Double Jeopardy can obviously improve, and Mitchie's just found 5 lengths on Damn Ready the last couple of runs. It might have just been a case of it just needed to remember how to win again, and now it's remembered where the line is. So, yeah, definitely want to be following Debellatio, Kakadu, Illustrious Tycoon, and I haven't even mentioned Truly Belong, but it never got a chance in the straight and doesn't have very good second up form. So be interested to see where it goes next time. So a few to follow.
Yeah, they did back Truly Belong as well. That was basically eased out of the race when it couldn't get the split up the fence. Dawn Mission basically had a few notes, was fit enough first up, walk can improve, so it's just something for me to be following on with. So yeah, it can improve certainly based on that parade.
Yep.
All right, last race on the card, race 9, and the big show, there he was, my boy. Yeah, he did. Look, they've gone only, you know, typical bow count, but even for him, this is pretty quick. They've gone 13.8 lengths faster than the class to the 600. So,
yeah,
reasonably hooning. And you saw the field break up, and a lot of them were just way, way, way too far back to be even a threat. Barzinho, for instance, poor Barzinho, he paraded really well, but he needs a slower race to be figuring. He was beaten only 30 lengths. Abel Dane was doing most of the donkey work first up, chasing, leading the field up, and it's only been beaten 29.3. I think pre-race there was a few horses that could cope with this sort of early speed, and you just sort of have a look at them. Obviously, the big show, Mr. Albie, Bow Count's done really well to finish third. Burger Time, Arctic Stream, Magical Charm, Brothers Keeper. They've run the first 7 home. Yep. So there you go. Your punting form data's basically rung true there, which is always handy. What to take out of this race? Big Show paraded better. He just walked a bit better. We backed him to start before, or that was my recommended bet anyway. Him and Dark Prospect, in the end, they both earned, and I stayed out for Mounting Yard Mail subscribers. But yeah, she just walked a bit better this start, so I just made sure I was a bit more disciplined with a few horses on Saturday, and that was one of them. Fortunately, didn't have a bet for punters because basically it was $4.40. And I thought it was a reasonably tough race at that expected speed. You just want to see him come out and actually win. But then as soon as I sent the text out, he's been 4.40 into 3.30. The market's flipped around. I thought, yeah, hang on, I've probably erred here and not betting. So I actually started betting myself at that point. Small bets on Brothers Keeper. I mean, look, Brothers Keeper was a little bit too toey for me as a stayer. He's just looked a little bit up and about. So I prefer to see him a bit more relaxed. Bow Count was really good. It was probably the most relaxed I've actually seen him. And he finished off quite well, considering he went crazy early. Don't know what to make of most of this field going forwards. If Bow Count keeps going, I want to keep backing these horses that can cope with the early speed. That's about it. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. You know, I sometimes get frustrated at Bow Count for the speed he puts in races, but at least we know it's going to be genuinely run. Sort of makes it a little bit easier to line the form up going into the race. Congrats to you, mate. Big Show is enormous. Fucking shit in. Well done. Arctic Stream's turning into a nice little stayer. It sustained a big run from probably the 1,000-metre mark and has tacked on well and been beaten by one that was just way too good. Like I said, Bocant, good to be. Pretty good effort to tack on for third. I don't know if that's more just a state of attrition that nothing could actually make up 10 lengths in 200 metres. But yeah, other than that, probably the only other horse I really want to be following is Decoy Noxious. I sort of talked myself into it on the preview. I wasn't as keen as I was, and then talked myself into it and got keener heading into the race. And our boy Kokomo just got a little bit lost, I think. He pushed up and then had Abel Dane fall in his lap, and he was probably in a really good position to strike. And you have a look at the in-run data on punting form. He's sitting third, and he's gone back to fifth, and he's ended up ninth on the bend. He's just had one fall in his lap, and it was probably a good effort for it to actually come back and hit the line well enough. So I'll be following it next start and hopefully get a result.
Just on that date, Decoy Noxious, 800 to the 600, he's gone 12.08 seconds. He's then from the 6 to 4 dropped 1.12 seconds and then picked up 0.96 seconds. So he's basically dropped over a second. He's picked up basically a second, which is a pretty fair effort. So I think you're bang on there. I think we could follow that. So, but, yeah, obviously the horse is going well enough, especially off that pretty brutal speed. Yeah, it's really interesting just comparing the staying races with horses that are running behind bow count versus, say, the other staying races, which have like your Salon du Cheval's 5 degrees, Mississippi Delta, where they're barely breaking benchmark. These races overall, like the big shows clocked just under 7 lengths adjusted above benchmark, and that's effectively 6 lengths superior to what Mississippi Delta's clocking. If the Perth Cups run in a brutal manner, you'd have to say, all things given, there'll be a big field. Not sure I'll be going necessarily bow count speed, but certainly there'll be enough speed on. You just have to suspect that this form line going forwards is going to be more superior to the Mississippi Delta one, even though you're going to have those horses probably more favoured than these ones.
Yeah, completely agree. I think this form and the obviously the group level form, once those horses from the Kingston's Town continue on their preps, will be the form that we'll be with come the race day. Just got to hope that something in the race wants to take it on and they don't sit there and just walk, which tends to happen in WA racing.
Alrighty, dates. From the overall meeting, do you have any couple of horses that you're really keen to follow next start?
Decoy Noxious, who we just talked about, I think we can follow it somewhere. Dawn Mission, I think we can follow in a little bit easier. It'll go back to Bunbury, similar to Flower of Scotland. I think it'll go back to Bunbury next start and be very hard to beat. Yeah, Misty Lad's another one that I think will find a race sometime soon. And that's pretty much it, mate. I think. From a movers point of view, I think Rising Sea, we've got our money out of it now. It usually sort of finds one race of prep and then sort of holds its form but doesn't sort of break through again. So I think we can sort of, depending, unless it pops up some stupidly easy race, I think we can sort of move on from it now that we've got our money out of it.
Yeah, look, I'm going to throw in from a yard point of view, Debellatio, just given that was the best I've seen in ages. Pretty keen to be following Paradise Square in any race it turns up next. I just thought its parade like was almost a different horse. I haven't seen it that good, probably ever. So it's obviously thrived in the Kalgoorlie sun. Yeah, there's probably a few others as well. I reckon there was like a really good meet to get keen on horses going forwards, but as always, I want to see them parade. Like we saw that perfect example, Geraldton yesterday. I was really keen to follow Carson Drive just off its parade first up. Didn't parade anything like the horse it did first up and ran accordingly up at Geraldton, beaten well and truly as a short favourite. So just shows, especially with those faves, you just really want to get a confirmation in the yard. It doesn't cost you that much from a price point of view, but geez, can save you a lot. But yeah, there's heaps of horses to follow, punters. I think Taxigano's worth forgiving as well, just off its parade. It improved a fair amount. Might be one of those consolidation parades where it then pops up next start and runs really well. It's almost like a delayed response to the actual parade. So yeah, we'll be pretty keen to have another look maybe this weekend, see what's nominated. I'll be down there with yourself on Wednesday. You're going to be out on track?
Yeah, I will be there from probably race two, I think, mate. Hopefully.
Sweet. So I'll be there for Sky
Looking
Punters.
into
There won't be any Mounting Yard mail. I'll have a look at the fields for Sunday at Pinjarra and may make the trip down there if it's worthwhile. Otherwise, I'll sort of just be focusing the attention on Ascot once more. It'll be another 9 race card. And I think we should probably touch on the Kingston Town because for me, I think it's actually it's the most exciting race of the year, period. I know there'll be a lot of Eastern States punters sort of saying, oh, a bit of WA bias, but tell me another race this year where there's been a match race like Arcadia Queen versus Galaxy Star. Plus, you've got pretty handy sort of supporting lineup with, Trap for Fools, who's won a Group 1, obviously now Material Man. There's, even Gadding, who's run second in the railway. There's a lot of horses that are absolutely flying, plus horses like Arcanar Star. I think this match race, plus with the supporting cast, for me, it's the race of the year.
I think it's a great race, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing which horses have come on and seeing whether Arcadia Queen is as good as Galaxy Star. It's going to be a very, very interesting race. You talk about some of the word that Galaxy Stars put in the best performance bar Winx for a mare this year, then all of a sudden the $5 is starting to look pretty enticing. Obviously Willie Pipes chosen to ride Arcadia Queen, but yeah, lots of different little angles. Really looking forward to getting stuck into the preview and trying to find the winner. Akinar Star's not the worst at $34 in early markets either.
Yeah, I think Akinar Star and even probably Perfect Jewel, they're probably the two
Yeah.
roughies I think that are best suited necessarily going forward. Perfect Jewel was enormous last start in the railway, and I think all things being equal, we'll get another pretty hard run race with Trap for Fools leading him around. I know that's often been the thing said, is that he doesn't necessarily lead races particularly hard. Well, he's got Oliver on, and he's back at Ascot. I think the inclination will be to try and lead pretty strong. So I think there won't be any shortage of speed in the race, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, and Material Man, she paraded, I thought, with improvement to come last start. So if she improves, or he improves, and yeah, it's going to be a cracking race.
Yeah, Lucy Warwick almost declared the horse straight after the railway day. She basically came out and said, "Yeah, he'll be extremely hard to beat next start." And so it's turned into a pretty tough race since then. But yeah, absolutely looking forward to it. We'll get stuck into that preview Thursday night, punters. Until then, hopefully you can get a few results out of Bunbury, where we'll be focusing our attention on. We'll send out anything worth betting on, either via the movers or mounting yard mail if I spy anything. It's pretty tricky trying to do that at the same time as Sky, especially when you've got only one hand free and that's holding a tablet and the other hand's holding a microphone. But otherwise, tune in and we'll try and push you the right way on air. But until then, punters, go well with the punt.
See you guys. Have a good week.